WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
Good afternoon, Indianapolis. You thought I was Amos Brown, but guess what? This is Police Chief Rick Hite. Afternoons with Amos, 1310, The Light. We're going to talk about quite a few things this afternoon, things you don't normally hear that happens in the police department. Yes, we talk about crime and violence and all the things that lead to what you will in the neighborhoods talk about in barbershops and beauty shops, but we're going to talk about something different tonight, this afternoon. We're going to talk about how it's important what happens in the back of the house when you have a concern about the quality and the effectiveness of our policing, how we begin to have a dialogue in our community. We're going to have a dialogue in the studio this afternoon. And you're going to hear from some very dynamic people who do the work behind the scenes and oftentimes are the unsung heroes. We're joining the studio at the moment with Major Dave Robinson, who's in charge of our professional standards unit, and also one of his very fine, smart supervisors, Sergeant Kim Young. But before we go to that, we want to talk about breaking news and how Indianapolis has done some yeoman's work in being able to reach out and develop relationships. A wise man once said, no matter how good a leadership team feels about itself and how noble a mission may be, but if the organization rarely reaches out and develops relationships with community and those who are the stakeholders, it's simply not reaching its goal as a good team. Well, we're going to try to do something about that as we continue to go out in our community conversations and our neighborhoods and having our discussions. But before things happen, we're not going to wait for a crisis to occur. We're going to look at the advantages we have in Indianapolis and take a long look at what's happening across our country and ask ourselves how we've been able to avoid that and how we're able to put chips in the bank before things happen. But before we go any further, good afternoon, Major.
Good afternoon, Chief.
I'm glad to see you.
Glad to be here, sir.
Sergeant Young.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the studios.
Thank you.
Our good friend Amos Brown on a well-deserved break, but I'm going to be Amos for a moment. I'm going to be a little provocative. Why should the citizens concern themselves with the police department when there's an issue of crime and violence that seems to be the mission? But when there's a complaint, how do we begin to identify what's really important to the community? Messaging out means what? Sharing information, getting back to them when they have a complaint or concern. But what else does it mean, Major?
Well, it's very important for the police department to work with the consent of the citizens. So bearing that in mind, we have to have a good, robust process in place for citizens to bring things to our attention or to file complaints against officers if they believe there's been some misconduct that's occurred. We have a very good system in place for that, and a lot of that deals with or goes back to citizen oversight of the police department. Most people don't know probably that there's a separate organization under the Department of Public Safety but not under the police department that has the responsibility for being the clearinghouse for complaints against police officers. I'm sure we'll talk about that as the afternoon goes on.
So the clearinghouse of information. So I have a complaint about a citizen has a complaint about a officer who's maybe been a little insolent in his language. In other words, not being respectful, not talking to the community correctly. Is that something that you would look into?
That's something that's probably one of the most common complaints that we get. And a lot of those, again, will come through the citizen's complaint office. They'll be assigned to the police department to investigate. Typically, those are not investigated directly by internal affairs. If it's strictly a language situation, there's typically we send those out to the supervisors of the districts for the officers, and the supervisor conducts an investigation and renders his or her findings.
But at the same time, the information comes back from them, from citizen complaint review, talks about the officer's conduct, and there are four areas that it's based on, right? Sustain, not sustain, unfounded, exonerated.
Right, so those are the four dispositions, and I can go through those. Sustain means there was enough evidence by preponderance, which means essentially 51%, enough evidence to show that the conduct occurred and it was incorrect, and then we take action, discipline, corrective action based on that. Exonerated is kind of the opposite. By 51% or greater, we've shown that the conduct, if it occurred, it was lawful and proper. If it didn't occur, if we can prove it didn't occur, that's where unfounded comes in. And then we're left with not sustained for the rest of them. If there's just not enough evidence to prove on one side or the other by 51% whether it occurred or didn't occur, we end up with not sustained.
All right, Sergeant. Kim Young, you're going out having investigations based on information you receive from citizens. What say you when it comes down to looking at this? You're investigating a police officer. You're having a conversation about a fellow officer. Tell us about that.
What I do when I get the complaint is we get the allegation, and we have to separate those allegations from the opinions and dissect the whole case and pull out the facts. We're the fact-finding part of the allegation, and we make sure that we go out and we talk to the people that are involved. We talk to neighbors. We talk to anybody that they have that may have seen what had happened. We look at videos, anything that's related to the case, dissect the fact and circumstances of the case, and we pull that together, and then we submit that report.
All right, so the information from the citizen made the complaint, you've done the investigation, you looked at it, you made determination whether or not it was those four categories the major talked about. How do you get back? How do I know as a citizen I'm going to have someone get back to me how that information is shared back to the citizen to make sure they fully understand what took place with that officer?
If it's a filed through the through the complaint department, if the complaint came to the citizen's complaint office, the citizen's complaint office will get back to the person. If the complaint came through, like, the department, because we also get complaints through our inner department as well, then the supervisor, my commanding supervisor, will get back with the supervisors of those officers.
Okay, so you get back to supervisor, but I need to make sure, Major, we fully got a complainant out there, right? They want to know, I have a complaint. This officer, I feel, violated my rights or violated the policy of the department. How will that information get back to me?
The formal complaints they go through CPCO, the complaint office. That process includes a review by the Citizens Police Complaint Board, a 9-member civilian panel that reviews complaints typically on a monthly basis. So formal complaints that are filed through the office will be reviewed. The complainant will get a letter stating the date and time of the meeting. They're invited to come. There's no testimony taken. However, they're invited to listen to the board's deliberation on the complaint and their findings. For things that are not filed through, or taken rather as a formal complaint, which a lot of times include low-level complaints such as rudeness. And when I say low-level, I'm trying to minimize the allegation, but things that don't include use of force, for example. Typically, when they're investigated as informals, they're not taken before the board, so it's incumbent on somebody from the department or CPCO to make the call to the complaint to let them know the outcome.
Okay, so we have a situation, and we've done all that, and now it's made it very clear that the complaint is valid in some respects, or sustained. What say you in terms of making sure the officer and or their supervisor is aware of the complaint, and what is the remediation?
Well, if it's something that wasn't investigated, for instance, by a supervisor, it was something that came through internal affairs, once the case has been finalized and the findings of sustained have been approved, then it's up to the officer's chain of command to decide what discipline and remediation are appropriate. And, you know, those are done. Certainly everybody has a boss. So if I'm a district commander, if I've got to make a decision about discipline, I'm certainly going to be checking with my boss, the deputy chief of operations, to make sure that, in this case, he feels that discipline and remediation is appropriate.
So making sure that the remediation is given, in other words, the corrective measure is taken, what should be the steps in making sure we monitor and make sure the conduct is not repeated?
Well, that kind of goes back to some new software that we recently implemented in the department called IA Pro.
IA Pro. That sounds like a pro basketball team or some type of software we're going to use to attack police. What is that?
Well, IA Pro basically, it's got a couple different functions. First of all, it serves as a case management for internal affairs or any professional standards investigation. It gives a place for the investigator to make notes to keep the status of the investigation updated, so that way anybody who has access to the software can go in any time and take a look and see what the status of an investigation is.
So prior to IA Pro, how was it handled?
Well, prior to IA Pro, we had a couple different systems that kind of worked separately to track cases. We had a kind of a rudimentary case management system built on a Microsoft product, and then we also had a separate database that tracked historical items like closed complaints, uses of force, et cetera.
So use complaints and reports before were tracked differently. So IA Pro would give us a better idea of possibly early warning. Examples of that would be?
You're exactly right. Early warning is one of the primary functions and one of the main reasons we bought the software. It's going to give us the opportunity to have all these different activities that an officer engages in come into one database. For example, complaints, uses of force, vehicle pursuits, things like that will all be brought into one system where we can set thresholds based on where an officer works. And if an officer is for example, in a certain period of time has received a number of complaints which is above what is usually received. It's not a trigger for any kind of discipline. We're not saying the officer's in trouble, but it gives the supervisor a heads up to sit down with the officer to make sure there's nothing going on that we need to be aware of, in the officer's life that might be contributing to an excessive amount of complaints or something like that.
So looking at it from a proactive standpoint, you have an idea of being able to assess an officer's performance earlier on, and if there are some challenges, you'll be able to see them in a timely fashion.
Right. The whole process will hopefully allow us to intercede at a very early level before things get out of hand, so to speak. We can intercede early for small problems rather than have them turn into big problems.
That's important. All right. 239-1310, 239-1310. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon with Amos, I'm sitting in as a host, Rick Hite, Chief of Police, joined in the studio by capable people who are part of our professional standards units. We want to hear from you. How are we doing? Are we building bridges? Are we making friends? Are we doing the right things? Talk to us. 239-1310. The light. All right. Looking at this, is an ongoing process, Major. We're going to make sure that we do two things today. Share information in terms of what it is you do, but also get feedback from some of our listeners. But in preparation, one more thing I want to talk about is we look at this issue. We talk about when we have a situation when we have to separate our people from the office. Let's talk a little bit about what we have to do in preparation for that. Something a little deeper, the mayor board. Let's talk about the whole process of when we have a sustained complaint and what happens after that fact.
Once a complaint is sustained, like we said before, it'll be up to the officer's chain of command to impose discipline. Once that process is complete, if the discipline reaches a certain level in terms of a number of days suspension, it's going to be reviewed, first of all, by a disciplinary board of captains, which are merit captains on the department, which will review all discipline unless it's issued directly by the chief to ensure that the discipline was fair in terms of the nature of the sustained allegations. Aside from that, if the discipline is 10 days or more, or more than 10 days, I suppose is the way to phrase it, the Civilian Merit Board can get involved if the officer were to appeal the discipline. The Civilian Merit Board is a seven, I believe, member board, and there's a process by which the members are appointed.
Right. We're going to take a break right now. Here we are at Afternoon with Amos. I'm your host, Rick Hite, sitting in. Stay tuned, folks. We have more information coming. You're on 8 a.m. 1310, The Light.
Hello, this is Pam Hickman, City County Councilor at Large, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
All right, we're back. Afternoon with Amos. I'm sitting in this afternoon, Rick Hite, Chief of Police, here on 1310, The Light. Before we took a break, Major, I think you had concern that you want to continue to talk about in terms of how we investigate those complaints and also the process going forward to the merit board.
Right. I just talked briefly about the merit board itself, a seven-person panel that's created under statute or under ordinance, rather, appointed by the mayor, the council. A couple of members are elected by the members of the department. Anyway, this board is responsible for a few things. They oversee the hiring, they oversee promotions, but in terms of what we're talking about today, they oversee discipline when it gets to a certain level. So we're talking about suspensions over 10 days, demotions, terminations, major discipline. So they will hold hearings either automatically depending on the type of discipline or at the request of the officer. They'll hold a hearing, take evidence, almost like a court proceeding, but not quite bound by the same rules of evidence and procedure, and reach a decision about whether the officer it's being disciplined, whether the discipline is fair in light of the circumstances of the offense.
All right. We got a couple of calls coming in. We're loading up a little bit here. Susan's been waiting alone. Let's go to Susan. Good afternoon, Susan. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Good afternoon, Susan.
Welcome. Good afternoon, Chief. Afternoon, I'm calling to announce that the Church of Glory, 3247 Forest Manor, will be hosting a community day, and we are honored to do that. The reason we're doing it is our theme is From Violence to Victory. Pastor Edwards has a heart for the community, and we call this a direct hit. There's been community days everywhere but in that direct area of 32nd and Forest Manor. So we want everyone's welcome to come. We want to invite you all out. And we are saying also that our prayers and thoughts are with you, Chief, and the police department, knowing that you all are doing a great job of trying to protect the communities. So we just wanted to call and announce that. Also, if there is anyone that wants to help sponsor this event, they can contact Deacon Witte at 317-850-4929. Thank you very much.
Can you give us a time on the event?
The time will be from 11 p.m. until 4 p.m. And I believe that McGruff, the crime dog, will be there from 2 to 3 p.m.
All right. McGruff is going to make an appearance and take a bite out of crime at 1347 Forest Manor in 46218. We want to appreciate that. We'll be there. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on. We see Mike is holding on. Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to the afternoon. His name is.
Hey, good afternoon to you, sir. How you doing, police?
By God's grace and mercy, we're doing great this afternoon.
Hey, that's good. It's good to hear your voice. And I thank Amos for giving you this opportunity to be on the airwaves. And I think it's something new that the radio station ought to look into to have a police chief talk show, because it is so vital for the police, you know, and the citizens to work together. Because we are all the same team. We are all the same citizens of this city that can be great. And this city it can be great. All we have to do is remove the violence. And I believe, Police Chief Hike, that you and the ministers and the administration are on to something. And I'm your biggest cheerleader out here, and I compliment you for that. And I ask that God protect you and your family. And when I say family, I'm talking about the men and women of blue, and also your wife and children. And look over this city and look over our citizens. But Police Chief, I think, you know, as we move forward in this, I think it'd be such a great value for us to have more volunteer police to get people excited about taking back their block, taking back their street, and, you know, and having these block parties for public safety, you know, and for crime watch. And I think you are on to something good. And I stand by you, and I support you, and I wish you Godspeed in everything that you do, sir.
Oh, God bless you, sir. And I want to thank Radio 1 and particularly Amos for allowing us to share his airways. And, yeah, we think it's an opportunity. We don't take it lightly. And we believe that in this city, we believe in the citizens. And without you and people like you, sir, we wouldn't be successful. So thank you for that warm compliment. All right. Amos, this feels good. I mean, in fact, I might stick around another couple of days. Don't tell him I'm still here after day after tomorrow. But the fact is he's on a well-deserved break, and we thank him for his service and also his commitment to the community. But we have another caller, Jeff. Good afternoon, Jeff. Welcome to 1310 The Light.
How you doing, Chief?
I'm doing the best we can. You tell me. How we doing, Jeff?
I'm doing terrific. I just got done with finals, and I'm taking a break from college. So,
fantastic.
Break. First of all, Chief, I think you and Public Safety Director Riggs are a breath of fresh air compared to the other individuals who your predecessor. You guys are definitely a breath of fresh air, and I think you're doing an exceptional job. You keep up the good work. And I want to say, what's your take on this situation in Ferguson, Missouri?
Well, we were just talking about the reason why we wanted to come on and have a conversation about our internal mechanisms. We want to be transparent. And I think the idea is to have a kind of a preventive mindset. Jeff, I think you talk about the issues before they become a crisis. And what we did today was brought some of the people who are behind the scenes you don't get a chance to hear from and talk about those processes for quality compliance to make sure the consumer, you, are comfortable with our practices and when we step out of line how that works. But to get to the point concretely, I think we have to recognize that in our society there comes a point when people reach a tolerance level. And quite frankly, when the issue occurs or the trigger occurs, it has not so much to do with the incident before you, but sometimes it's years of concerns that went sometime unresolved. And so when we have civil disobedience, sometimes it's about really about the issue before you. But if you look back and pull the covers back, you start to see that there were issues that were, again, unresolved, a conversation that needed to be had, and just proactive kind of stuff. So I like to think in Indianapolis, we try to put chips in the bank before things happen. So we don't have to be reactionary. We'll become more proactive. What's your thoughts?
Do you think this police chief, is handling that situation properly? We're not giving out the name of the individual who's involved in the shooting. Is that standard procedure, or is that just him doing his own thing? I'm the police chief. I do what the heck I want
to
do.
Well, I think we have to recognize that. I'm not privy to all that he has to be faced with in terms of being the chief and chief of medics, of having been in a similar position in my career. I think, in fact, that sometimes we do the best what we can with what we have to work with. But I would like to think good-minded people, good-hearted people who are concerned about a city would be willing to stand up and do what's right and say, number one, we can't get anything accomplished in the middle of a crisis if we're fighting one another. We have to find a day of truce so we sit down and talk about what we can agree on and build from there.
And I just want to make clear, there's nobody who's pro-law enforcement in the African-American community. And you know that's a fact. So I don't want the people out there in the suburbs saying that, you're nothing but a bunch of looters and rioters and all that. Nobody's more pro-law enforcement than the black folks in the United States. So, Chief Hyde, you are an excellent example. And get these bums off the streets because we don't need them. And you and your people, just do what you got to do.
Well, I think we have a great team in a great city. But I think also, let's talk about less than 1% of the population involved in that activity. Majority of the people get it.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yes, sir.
Have a good day.
Have a blessed one. All right. All right, Tracy. Welcome to 1310 The Light.
Yeah, I got a comment.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Yep. You're on air.
Hey, Chief, how you doing?
We're doing the best we can. How you doing? Sound like you're on the road. How's it out there?
Yeah, I'm on the road a little bit. Hey, but, one thing I really want to, thank you, because your ministry is to protect the public, but some of these preachers need to talk about morals and values because, some of this behavior, it's something that you can't control. I mean, you can have all the police you want, but just like in Ferguson, Missouri, what's going on now, the behavior, the police can sort of control it, but, they can't. And just like you wouldn't be police chief today if your behavior hadn't started as a young man in your house, as your mother and your father, as they raised you. You know, there was a behavior thing that made you the police chief that you are today. And in our community, we have a behavior issue that needs to be addressed. And the people that are best to address that would be the ministers in these churches. And I would ask them to preach the morals and the values that the Bible teaches, because the Bible is a book of morals and values. And I'm quite sure that's what you were raised up on, and that's why you sit in the chair that you sit in today. So, again, I thank you for doing the job that you're doing, the ministry that the police do have, that they're doing a great job. But I think that the ministers need to add a little bit more to that to make your job a lot easier.
Well, thank you. My grandmother, you must have been talking to her, because she spared Rod Spoiler Child's what she operated with, but she also made sure everyone in the family and the neighborhood knew her values. So it was a shared responsibility. I think the pastors are one part of the mission. I think once we deal away with the home, the church, and the community, we start to see jails and prisons prevail. So I think we have to recognize it's a shared responsibility. We all take a role in it. Thanks for the call. All right. Moving right up to Robert. Good afternoon, Robert. Welcome to 1310 The Light.
Yeah, thank you for your service to the community. I just wanted to take and comment. First of all, the mayor, which is your boss, he's got to be more proactive in trying to get jobs in the distressed community where a lot of this crime is going on. And also the community has to step up and put great emphasis on education, because once you become a dropout, you're just signed your ticket to eventually being incarcerated or being a part of a funeral. So being a senior citizen that has observed over the years how the city has changed, and it's constantly undergoing a transition, that the police, they are basically on par. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give Indianapolis Police Department about an 8. No one is perfect. They deal with all types of a situation. So I'm just encouraged to see that you're bringing in a type of leadership in spite of the circumstances and the problem that is going on within certain areas, that you're trying to do the best you can. But I'd like for you to take and get the ear of the mayor and tell him to be more aggressive and proactive in creating jobs and finding money. I find it to be very strange that they can find money for every project in this city, which tend to cater to the elites of the city, to find money to do things that is satisfying to the elites instead of to these distressed community. Because once a person loses hopelessness, he feels that life is not worth living, and therefore he has nothing to gain by doing the right thing. So that creates a very volatile situation.
Well, right, thank you, Robert. I think one of the messages we have to continue to put out there are the sad facts that, yeah, many of our people look for jobs. But the good thing about it, I can bring you good news to let you know the You're Not Your Life Matters campaign, along with the help of Sow Our Seed and Clean the Green Summer Jobs Program, netted 400 young people with opportunities to be gainfully employed during the summer. And as a result, as we're looking at the numbers right now, it looks like there's been a reduction in those areas where they are actually working in terms of violent crimes and et cetera. So it is working. Now, we have to do this. We have to roll up our sleeves as a community and each one teach one, pay it forward, and find other employment for our young people beyond summer employment, to your point. But again, I thank you for your comment, and I think the administration, the mayor's administration, police, all of us who will come together on the public safety, and Director Riggs has led a charge also in terms of making sure this message through the police foundation is heard loud and clear. But again, we know that there's more we can do. Now, I do have a bone to pick with you, Robert. Now, I'm trying to figure out, Sergeant Young, how are we going to get that 8 out of 10? I'm still missing 2 points here. I mean, I know he said we're 8 points down out of 10. I'm just greedy that way. I just got to figure out how we're going to get that 2 points out of Robert. How are we going to do that?
I think feedback to the community and letting the community know that we're internal affairs, and you know, we take our complaints and we handle them, and we take with true honesty, we listen, and we get back, and we come up with results that we feel that are correct. I feel that us working with the community, even though we're internal affairs, we're in a separate or outside, that we're looking and we're trying to do what's best for the community, the officers, the department, and have that best answer with the facts that we come up with.
I think we're going to sign Robert up and put him out there with the reserve force so we can get get that 2% out of him.
Yes.
All right, moving ahead. Good afternoon, Kim. Welcome to 1310.
Hi.
All right. Good afternoon, Kim.
Oh, hi, Mr. T. Hi. I just had a question. Now, I tuned in not long ago, and someone there with you was speaking on policemen's attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is this. Why is it okay for an officer to have an attitude if you're just asking them a simple question, but yet if you have an attitude, you can be basically, it could elevate in the officer's mind, and then you can be arrested under disorderly conduct or whatever. And I'm just trying to figure it out. How does that work based on if an officer doesn't like your response to a question? Why do you have to show respect or the utmost respect or whatever, but yet then they can come across nasty to you? Because let me just give you this other example. A few nights ago, well, it might have been last week, I was turning at 38th and Keystone. There was this boy, it was about probably 11 o'clock. He was clearly a teenager. And he was running from, looks like the juvenile center. And so when I get to my street, which I don't live too far from the precinct, there were some officers. This little boy cut through some houses behind that Church's Chicken on 25th in Keystone. And so they were out with their lights on. You know, it was like, say, 11 o'clock or so at night. And I flagged them down and said, hey, are you looking for someone? And I got the dirtiest look in from the officer, and he told me, ma'am, I am on a run. I said, well, if you are looking for someone, I was just trying to let you know I see somebody cutting through some houses, and I didn't know if you were looking for that person. And so I just drove off. So I'm just kind of curious on this whole thing.
All right. The question is, do we have attitudes and why? Take a stab at it.
This is Sergeant Young. Yes, you get some attitudes out there, but what happens a lot of time is sometimes miscommunication, misunderstanding. A lot of people believe that the disorderly conduct statute, it has changed. You no longer, you know, back in the day where you get someone mad, they would throw in that door. Disorderly conduct statute states that what's offensive to the officer, what's a stat for the officer is not disorderly conduct. So you got to understand the disorderly conduct statute. The disorderly conduct statute is when it's offensive to the other people, the neighbors, and different things like that. So pretty much, the officer may have an attitude. We get that, but we apologize. That's not the whole department. But a lot of times, you know, we're human too. There are going to be some days where you may get that. And, if you feel that it's offensive to you and if it's offensive and you're trying to help, you can call and talk to that supervisor. And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes those officers may say they had a bad day or something was going on during a missed investigation or whatever the case can be, you know, because it does happen. And out of the same times, you know, when we're dealing with people, you know, we try to be professional and try to be courteous to all people because that's what we're trained.
All right, come back. We're going to talk about attitudes.
You.
And thank you, ma'am. And thank you for the call and thank you for the comments. When we come back, we're going to talk about attitudes and how we need to adjust that. Here at 1310 The Light.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, president of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light.
All right, we're back here at 1310 The Light. Afternoon with Amos. I'm your host, Rick Kite, sitting in for Amos on a well-deserved hiatus. He's probably somewhere up in the Midwest on the beach enjoying the sun and the fun. And, you know, Amos does.
I understand.
Yeah. From the last call, do we have a failure to communicate is what I heard from the last caller. Sergeant Young, you was about to finish up about accountability, understanding the role each of us as law enforcement have to kind of check each other, right?
Yeah, we do. Some, you know, we're human too. Police are people too. We had that saying a while back. But a lot of times, you know, that does happen. You will get, come in contact with an officer and he may have had a bad day and that's no excuse for it. But what we would ask is if you're getting that, if you're having an issue with an officer with an attitude, call. Let us know because with our IA Pro, when the complaints come in and we get that information, it will see if it's the same officer all the time. And then that way we can tell if that officer does have an attitude problem. Or is it just one of those glitches or something? It was just a bad day that day. But if you file the complaint, then we'll know and it'll come up as a flag on our IA Pro, and then we could monitor and have some remedies set in place for to handle that situation.
Well, so this is why the purpose of this show is to unveil those concerns and have a real conversation. Peer-to-peer accountability is the primary and most effective source of accountability. When you see each other out there and we're having a bad day or you see yourself over the top, sometime we have to ask our peer group to do just that, grab us off, pull us to the side and say, yeah, you know what? We have that conversation about that call. What do you say, Major?
I think it's a great idea. And a lot of times it happens, I'm sure, without our knowledge. If there's a couple of officers on a run and one of the officers kind of, recognizes that something the other officer said or did might not have been as professional as it should have been, they might have an offline conversation. You know, hey, just, you know, this is what I saw. Is everything going okay? Maybe it was just something that happened in that run that got on the officer's skin. Who knows? But if it's something that, you know, can be corrected by a peer with a quick conversation following the run, then that's fine. I mean, the goal is to get the behavior corrected. It's not to get somebody in trouble necessarily. We're just trying to keep things as professional as we can. And whatever it takes to do that, we're willing to try it.
All right. This is AM 1310 The Light. I am PD and hosting here for Amos. Let's go to the lines, talk to the people who we work for. Steven, you're up.
How you doing, Chief?
All How are you?
I'm fine. I don't know if you remember me or not, but I had the pleasure of speaking with you in a very candid, open, and honest, revealing conversation when you took the time to have lunch in a church's chicken on Post Road.
Stop putting my business out there, Stephen. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate you sitting in the community and trying to get a grasp.
Yes, sir.
And talk to the people.
And management by walking. I spend time in the community, walking the streets. You're absolutely right. That's the only way you really get a real sense of it.
I have a couple of comments.
Yes, sir.
One is that I agree with the previous caller, and I do not believe that Mayor Ballard is the best mayor that's going to serve the community. All of his... everything that he's doing is lopsided. You know, like the caller said, we find money for everything. You know, but our main focus and first focus should be on the children. And, you know, why can't we build a better IPS? Now, let me go to the next thing. I believe that situations that happened, like here, some things in Indianapolis and then recently here in Missouri, first come from ignorance. And from that ignorance, we have a certain amount of hate within the police departments. Some of this hate is a part of different groups and organizations that promote hate. But the other part of it is that once this ignorance is put in the suit and then it's finally confronted with the community, now fear kicks in. Now these officers that so-called have a bad attitude take a defensive position that have a potential for unnecessary escalation, which is not only putting the persons in the community at risk, but the officers' life at risk. If you're going to be a leader, you have to always be in control, calm, okay? Now, the other thing is when it comes to that 8 out of 10, which I would say is probably 6 to 7 out of 10, we got to be honest and truthful when we report. I've been involved in situations where there's an officer that wants to come out and show favoritism and falsely report actions that occur within their report. Third, we need to have education about real people and their culture, not education that's going to lead to profiling somebody.
Listen,
you know, because then that's only discrimination.
Okay, Stephen. Listen, we covered a lot of information. Let me just say this to you. And looking at this from a realistic standpoint, I can tell you that we are recruiting people with spirit of service, not adventure, number one. Number two, I'm going to go back to something you said that reminded me of what my family values were. I were taught by my father and my mother and my grandmother, was we can't rely on people to do what we can do for self. Government can't rescue us from ourselves. We have to be prepared to be able to step up and recognize we don't get a pass in life. We have responsibilities to each other, to our family, to our community. And each of us can be great because each of us can serve. And what we have to recognize, again, the limitations in a time we have where our economy is somewhat shifted is on all of us. Something you said that really just kind of caught my attention and something I've been working on, looking at this whole fear factor. You can fear an acronym. You can fear everything and run, F-E-A-R, or you can fear everything and rise. The question is, are we going to run from the issues that we're facing in our community? Are we going to rise up, make a difference? And I think all of us have a shared responsibility in making sure our children and our communities are safe. I plan to rise up. I don't plan to run from it. We'll face all issues and challenges, and no, we don't always get it right as law enforcement and as public officials, including the mayor. But the effort has to be put forth by all of us because Indy is a lot different than other places that are under siege right now in terms of civil disobedience. I think we're better than that. And I think we can win this battle by simply staying focused on the mission. The old African proverb is right. The African proverb says when elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. We can't afford to have suffering in our community any longer. Thank you for your call. Appreciate you, Steve. All right, Danny, you've been waiting a little while. Welcome to Afternoons with Amos.
How are we doing, Chief?
Danny, we're doing the best we can. We're doing our laughs. Danny, we're doing laughs right now. Staying on point, staying focused. We're just doing our laps.
That's what counts. What I was going to say, it's not as much as we used. I mean, I know we can't turn back the hand of time or nothing like that, but it was a time when police had a relationship with the community. You know, if they seen little kids out there kicking the ball out in the street, they would stop and tell them, get out the street and throw them a piece of candy, get them some candy, laugh and talk with them. And them kids began to respect that person. But if you go up there with that nonchalant, bad attitude and yelling, and believe me, some little kids out there can say some real blessed choice words that will make you mad. And, but it's just like, it was a time when I couldn't even look in a police car because I wasn't right. Now I look over in the police car, we at the red light, I try to see what you're doing. It was that you might have been trying to see what I was doing, but thank God it's time and brain for all the change.
Yes,
now I'm looking over in your car trying to see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you look at that individual, you can feel the vibes that it's not safe. And, you know, it's true what the book of Judges says, second chapter, the 10th verse, that rose a generation that did not know God. And we're in that generation now because our young youth, they don't know God because the parents went to work. I mean, I'm sure you got a police officer there that said, I pull a double. And, you know, we see the money, they put the money in front of us. And we'd rather go after the money than going after what individual for each person individual. And, I think that's what's hurting us so bad that we have lost contact with the people. And the people have lost contact with the police officer because, you know, now they're afraid. They're afraid that, you know, they gon', you know, get, there was a time police officer could pull up and say, hey, you done something wrong. Come on and get in the car. That guy got in the car with no kind of trouble or nothing. But now it's another generation. And believe me, my head goes off to y'all because y'all do have a new generation that is not in the 50s, that would then come through the 80s, then come through the 70s. This generation, what y'all got y'all hands on to, God be the coach. And that's all I got to say.
Well, Danny, I appreciate it, but I think the attitude we have to recognize is that we were unsystemic at one time and we had our own hard head, stiff neck, and rebellious kind of thoughts from one time or another. And there were those like you and others who set us straight. The challenge is, when I talk to ministers of the clergy, you're right about one thing. This is a part of an unchurched generation. So how do we handle that? What do we do as law enforcement when we're dealing with the social issues of our society, when we're forced to deal with tools, with limited tools in our belt to really address those social needs? What say you? Who steps up? Who provides those necessary wraparound services to those communities? Who does that?
Yeah. Well, that's all I say. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I thank you for caring. Thank you for being concerned. But also, I'm not giving up on our kids. I believe they are our future, our most precious resource. They need guidance and direction. Can you imagine when you only had the church, the home, and the community as the only means of getting information, and all of a sudden you get an information age. Someone talks about Facebook and Twitter, satellite TV and cable. Imagine being a young person trying to maneuver through all those minefields. Who helps them? Who provides the coverage and the toolage to help them to be able to deal with those issues? I like to think that police officer used to say, get out of the car, still exists. I know they exist. I watch them playing ball. I saw a video the other day of a police officer trying to break dance. Wasn't very, 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 very nice looking in terms of his dance steps, but in terms of his effort trying to reach out to the community, yeah, it was kind of funny to watch, but at the same time, it showed they're also willing to do what's necessary to win the hearts of the kids. Kids loved it. Community laughed at them. We all got a good laugh out of it, but that was his effort to reach out. All right. Alfreda, good afternoon.
Yes.
Glad to hear you. Welcome to Afternoon with Amos.
Good afternoon, Chief.
Afternoon.
I have a question first. Why is it so quick for you all to snatch driver's license from people that commit traffic violations? Because, and then my comment is, you create chaos in that family. How is a person supposed to be able to take care of their family with no driver's license? Now, I'm not saying that they have a right to break the law, because I haven't had a traffic ticket. I'm going to let you know that now, okay, in over 25 years. So I'm not speaking of me. I'm speaking of the unfortunate. How many crimes has been committed because of no driver's license? Death that has occurred because of no driver's license. Isn't it a better way that y'all can let the people keep their driver's license, take care of their family, give them a chance to pay off for those too high of traffic tickets that you give to them? I think it's wrong. I think you create more problems than you solve problems by being too quick to snatch driver's license from families that have children to support. I think something should be done about that. Give a person a chance to pay off that ticket without taking his driving privileges away, and the crime will be cut way down. Now, will you comment on that, please?
Yeah, absolutely, Alfred. I've been waiting for you to kind of give me some guidance as to where we were going. I think what is part of the discussion is we write tickets for infractions, but we don't have the authority. The law gives us authority to write the ticket, but it's up to the courts to decide if the license is going to be revoked. Sergeant Young, you want to respond further than that?
Yes, usually in cases where there's a DWI or license are suspended, those people that know their license are in jeopardy, their license are usually taken. Usually on the average of traffic stops, we don't take the driver's license. We give the driver's license back after we run the information. But the way the law is now, there are other ways the driver's license can be taken, child support and different other issues. But usually when we take the driver's license, usually definitely with the DWI, driver's license go with the paperwork, and then you get a receipt for your license to use if you're stopped or something like that. And then on suspended license, if it gets to a point where you're habitual traffic, they take the license. But so usually we don't take the license unless it's certain cases and certain laws. But license are taken from other instances. I'm not sure of them all, but I know, like on child support, that is one instance.
Well, I think the idea...
I wasn't speaking of DWI. I was speaking of license taken for something less minor than that.
Well, ma'am, if you have a case like that, we'll be able to talk to you off air about it. But let me just be very clear. We don't seize licenses except for the situations that, as the sergeant indicated. But I think the law asks us to intervene on behalf of the court in seizing or receiving those licenses. And then we, at the same time, understand that we can't do it without the law. In other words, I can't just arbitrarily just take your license and suspend you unless it's an infraction or violation of the law. All right. Thank you, Alfred. Good afternoon, Pierre. You're up.
Good afternoon, Chief Hyde, and to the sergeant that's there. I support the police a lot of times, and then I'm critical of the police. I supported the police I supported the officer during the Brandon Johnson thing because I didn't think it was a civil rights violation. Many in the community disagreed with me. But there are some issues. I've been calling this radio program for years, and I've brought up instances where I've accused the police of stealing guns out of my car. I've accused the police of coming past and cutting the cable to my house and things of this nature. But the point is, and I don't think you were in charge, but the point is, never heard, never spoke to anyone from Internal Affairs. Okay? Even went through the citizens' complaint process. Never spoke to anybody from Internal Affairs.
All right, Pierre, guess what? Today is your lucky day. You have the major, the man in charge of professional standards, which is Internal Affairs here this afternoon. Say hi to Pierre, Major.
Pierre, can you tell me what happened in terms of how you handled the incident when this happened? Did you file a complaint, or what did you do?
Yeah, the complaint was filed with the Citizen Complaint Review Board, and at the time, his name escapes me now, but he was in charge, I believe, of Internal Affairs. So white officer had a controversial shooting back in two decades ago or whatever. But he was in charge. But the point is, never spoke to somebody from Internal Affairs. Now I'm involved in a case in Amazon. Then, you know, but the point is, I got a call from a sergeant told him the circumstances behind the break-in of my car.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me and told me he did some investigations. Actually, he told me he recovered the radio from my car. Once I told him the circumstances behind what happened, never heard from that sergeant again. Chief, I hope you don't have some police officers out here moonlighting for law firms or what have you. But, and here's the other thing I want to bring up, Chief. And there was in the Officer Bradway shooting where the officer went in behind Officer Bradway and killed the assailant. We don't know the name of that officer. We don't know if that there's been, if the investigations have taken place. We don't know if there's been a grand jury impaneled and everything like that. I want to know.
Let me, Pierre, you got a lot of questions.
Here we go again. I always get cut off.
No, you're not getting cut off. You're getting referred to someone who can handle the questions, right? Because we have quite a few, and I think you have.
Yeah, okay.
Here we are. Sergeant Adams is on the side. As always, my name is, we always take those complaints seriously. We take the information and we'll get back to you. But there are about four or five, I think, are going to inquire us and do some in-depth investigation. But let me just say this, folks, we have no reason to hide the fact that we need to hear from you. And if we're not doing it right, we're not doing it the right way, we want to know about it. But the reason why we're here this afternoon is to be transparent. And that's what we're here. We're going to unpack this information and share you with our systems, and we're going to talk about what's working. But Pierre and others who have an issue, we're right here. We'll be here for another hour. We'll continue to talk about this. But thank you, Pierre, for your efforts. Ted. Oh, Ted, are you there? 10:10
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome.
Hey, Chief, I'll make it quick. There's been a lot of whiners have been calling. They've been calling the station the last 10 years whining. Hey, I want to say you and your people, took the police on another level. Very professional. I wish the people would catch up. That's the problem. We want to air our problems on the phone instead of doing it the old way. You kind of remind me of Frank Middlebrook, just plain and simple, how to get situations done. But the most problem is that we have jellybacks in our community. Men would not step up and handle the block.
Ted, we hear the music. Can you do us a favor? Can you hold over?
Yes.
Would you complete your thought? It's getting hot and heavy here at 1310 The Light. We're ready for it, though. We got the right attitude, right mission, and we're on the right purpose. We'll be right back.